In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, welcome back to the Between the Frames podcast.
Every time we do one of these intros, I'm so tempted to just go like, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to our YouTube podcast.
I would have done that, bro, but it's not on fucking YouTube, hell. We did go-karting yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I'm dead.
I'm dead. I'm so tired.
My back is all bruised and sore. And
yeah. Let's just take this one easy.
Yeah, legit. Have you guys, like, when was the last time you guys even went go-karting?
Such a random starting question.
Fair enough.
Recently, actually.
Really?
In America, in LA.
Oh, fuck. That would have been way better than what we had.
It was actually slower. It was worse.
Really?
No, not. Yeah, usually America does, like, bigger and better and stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Slower and worse and shit.
We do slower and shit.
Shit, so
yeah. Go-karting in Australia is just riding a kangaroo to a...
To a yacht office.
All right.
We're talking about our failures in photography or how we got here. How did we fail our way to this room?
Yeah. So I think the main topic of today was what are our biggest failures? So what has led us to this point?
Being friends with you boys. Yeah, that's for sure.
That's 100% correct.
Yeah. Nah, funky, love you boys.
I think it's hard to like pinpoint that because there's so many times like I fail for a living. That's what we all do, I feel. If you want to succeed, you can't be a success. You got to be a failure. That's just it. Like you got to fail.
Yeah, I've got a pretty funny failure. Just what I remember right now.
Yeah, go for it.
So I used to hold like photography workshops, right?
Yeah.
And I had like a one that I did on car photography, right? So I got hold of a GT3 RS, like a Porsche, and I took it to a car park rooftop. And there was about 12 people there that came. They all paid about $50 to learn a bit more about car photography. And I was hosting it and it went really well. So I decided to do another one back when I was working at the car dealership. I decided to do one there too. And I charged about $79, about $80, because we had an even more expensive, rarer car. That's what my boss told me to charge for the event, right? And I was pocketing most of the money. So it was like 12 times $50. Like it was decent cash for like a few hours of like teaching and stuff. It was good. So Liam and I, we held a photo walk, and this is probably like, it's not even really that long ago. It was probably a few months ago. It was definitely last year. So me and Liam wanted to hold like a photography workshop around the city, right? But we just, I don't know what was going through our mind, but we just charged way too much money, right? Fucking way too much.
How much?
It was like $200 per person.
Yeah.
Right. That's just too much for like a 90 minute session or 2 hour session or whatever. Right. And we didn't get a single booking. We posted it everywhere, like over Instagram, like it's going to be on these dates or whatever. Yeah. We had it up for like a couple of days and yet like, cause these other ones that I made, I just went off from what I knew. Cause the other ones, that's cause they're like so cheap. And I put up these like workshops and they all sold out within like a couple of nights or whatever. And then this one, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, literally not, no one's, like, barely anyone's even bothered to go on the website because you could see, like, the website traffic and shit. And me and Liam were like, do you want to just, like, take it down and pretend that we did it? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah. Did you actually?
It has been spoken.
Yeah. So
you pretended like you went through with it.
Well, obviously, like, if anyone asked about it, we were like, yeah, it was good. And then he's like, change the subject.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's fail. That's good, though. Yeah. Fail, but good. Good.
Good learning curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes out now because I don't give a fuck now. It's like, whatever. Yeah. I failed.
What was that?
Proud.
It was like a year or two ago?
No, it was about a year ago. I think back when we were doing photogenic phones still. Right. It was about a year ago, actually. Yeah. About maybe 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened to photogenic phones?
Oh, dude, we just couldn't handle the amount of work for it. So, you know, like it's a lot of work to create phone cases. And it wasn't like we didn't have a team doing it. Like it was actually me and Liam. Like, you know, making the phone case. We had to order the shipment in from China. We were making them, like actually printing the inks and stuff, pressing them, and then also posting them, like taking them to the post office and stuff, handwriting all the addresses and shit. And it just became so time consuming. And obviously like any business that you want to thrive, and we're never in it for the money. Obviously, like I really enjoy doing the phone cases and I hope to be able to start something up like that again, like very hands-on, because I really enjoy doing it. And hanging out with like the people like Daniel, who's going to be doing our merch at Custom Promotions. I really enjoyed hanging out with them and stuff and making them. but I just wanted to dedicate more time to this and YouTube and creating videos because I know that that's more beneficial for my future, but also it was more rewarding making videos and being able to inspire more people rather than making phone cases. So me and Liam decided just to pull the plug on it. And
good though. Come it's back good. To it. You could come back to it later. Yeah, exactly. Obviously. Yeah.
It's not like anyone's like upset that I stopped making a fucking phone case. You can get a phone case anywhere.
Yeah.
What about, this is fun.
What about you, Lamont? What's a failure? A major failure or like failure something
on
that
my behalf. Oh jeez. There's too many.
Yeah.
Like living.
No, existence.
Like, I feel like with me, I wouldn't say they're like complete failures, but they're just like, because the thing with me is I've never truly committed to everything 100% to be able to get to a point where it's like, okay, it is a failure that something didn't work out or something. I think.
Very conservative.
Yeah. And like in a way, it's not the best thing to do because sometimes, you know, you can't actually go full 100% into it. I understand that now. And that's why I do want to do more, like I want to focus more on uni this year that's coming up.
Yep.
But I think at the top of my mind right now, like my presets weren't the best. Like I don't think, like, you know, I got a few sales from it, but apart from that, it was just like, yeah.
Do you mean like the amount of sales or like the actual presets themselves?
Yeah.
A little bit of both actually, because I think like some of my presets are great. I still like to use them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use them well. And great. I think just me in general, I do like to edit photos from scratch. That's just how I've always done it. So presets, it's not like I'm a sellout or anything because it's still my work and all those presets were from my previous photos. It's just I think I could have spent a bit more time working on them. And also the fact that, you know, yeah, I got some sales within like the first week and a half of putting it up. But, and then afterwards, it's just like, no traction. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So
you have to push it as well a bit more. Yeah.
And like, I'll put some like Instagram posts up saying like, you know, before and after showing what my presets do and stuff. And like people still bought them from time to time. But like as of recently, haven't had a sale in like probably a month.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Because you haven't pushed it.
Need to push them though.
Well, I did push it in my recent video. And
you did?
Still nothing?
I did. No traction. I'm like, okay. Like I was sort of expecting it. And the thing is like, I think that sort of revenue would have worked only if like I was actually fully committed to YouTube. That's the thing.
I agree. Yeah.
So that's why it hasn't quite worked out. And like, I'm not mad about it. Like I didn't really expect it per se, but it's a learning curve. Like I've actually sort of just understood how an online product works now, especially tying it in with our audience and whatnot.
Yeah. You kind of just like, it's not selling out, man, because it's your own product. You can't sell out on your own fucking product. Yeah. Like that's just bullshit.
But it provides value to people. Yeah, it provides value.
And
out.
It's also something that people should be happy, like, that you're doing something. You know, I think it's awesome to be able to create a business. It's not easy. No one said this shit is easy. Life is not easy.
No.
None of this shit is
easy.
None
of it's easy.
But
you
have to advertise it. You know what I mean? Like, literally ads are everywhere. And that's, like, also one of the most beautiful parts about being a photographer or working in an industry with cameras. Because literally everything on this planet, including the stands of the microphones that we're talking into, need to be either animated, filmed, or photographed. That's everything.
Yeah.
How else are you going to sell your product if no one can see what it looks like? Mm. You literally need some, even you like it, infomercials or like that are animated and stuff, some form of creative in that like sense, something needs to happen like with a camera.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Or like a computer, like even editing, you know what I mean? Like it needs to happen, which is not such an awesome part about our industry. However, it's very oversaturated.
Mm.
And even like, you know, since we did the iPhone 11 photo battle and the iPhone 10, like you're a photographer if you got a smartphone now.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's a photographer now.
Pretty
everyone's
much.
A filmmaker now.
Yeah. With Instagram as well, obviously.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also that's where you have a point of difference, you know what I mean? And how you have to figure out how am I going to set myself apart from the rest? What am I doing that's different? What am I going to do that's me? Like what says my brand and stuff?
Yeah. That's what I've been working on for quite a while now. Just sort of building up and just like understanding more about how the way I want to approach photography and the way I want to approach all of this as well. And obviously like it's hard because I still have to go to uni.
Yeah.
So it is different. My situation is a bit different from you guys. It's not an excuse.
No. But even just like trying to plan out how you're going to do it, like you can't. You just got to do it.
Exactly.
You just got to pick up the camera, get out there, start shooting, start editing.
Yeah.
It's actually not that big of a deal. Like picking up a camera and pressing record. That's all you do.
Yeah.
You don't need to have like a story like in place or any structure or anything. You just press record and then you figure it out as you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. Usually do with videos.
Well, yeah, and it's just good. Yeah.
They work out. I remember that when I was trying to take photos when I was younger and write Instagram captions that I thought were meaningful, and I was trying to figure out a story in my photos, and I was just like, I'm just interested in like taking photos and stuff. Like, that's all I want to do. I just want to like take photos and stuff, but I also want it to be meaningful. Like, how am I going to do this? Mm. But I found that just like over time, now I kind of understand the reason why I'm taking photos and stuff. And what I'm doing, you know what I mean? Like I understand the story behind it a bit more. And like, I think that's come over time with making YouTube videos is that I obviously in each one of the YouTube videos that we make, we pretty much tell a story every single time.
Yeah.
And then the photo at the end, it doesn't matter what the photo looks like. It's like how we actually came to getting that, which is cool.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I didn't really think about that whole side of it. Yeah. Yeah.
I think for me with photography, like what I try to do my best is put my personality into the photo itself. So whether it's the hobbies that I enjoy doing, like that's outside of photography, but sort of mush everything together in a sense.
Yeah.
So obviously, like I say it quite a bit, I'm into anime, like Japanese, all that sort of stuff. And so like I love like the idea of having really bright colors, really dreamy looks, and like
yeah,
I think it's cool to see. And I try my best to put that into photography. And that's only come as of recently as well.
Seen
like
the, you would have seen foggy, on my feed, foggy kind of dehazed, kind of
hazy look to it. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And I guess that's just my sort of take on it. And like, I also enjoy listening to music as well as I take photos. So like, I'm sure you would have noticed on the, on my, one of my latest posts actually, when we were taking photos at night, doing street photography, like you guys were filming your POVs with the GoPros. I had earbuds in listening to music. I was taking photos.
Nice. Because do you think that helps?
Oh, definitely.
Really?
Because I love using the idea from that song. And so I'd be like, okay, so this, because like it makes me feel a certain way.
Right.
So like, if that makes me feel a certain way, then I feel like I might be able to get a sort of shot that sort of replicates it or that is somewhat linked to it in a sense.
Dude, you should make a video about that. It's really interesting actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like I've actually contemplated it as well, but I'm like, at the same time, it's like, how do I get behind the whole royalty free music thing? But
then again,
I can probably just say the names of the actual songs itself and not include any of the actual audio, but
yeah,
I guess that works.
Yeah,
right?
And then just play a B-roll sequence with whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
boring shit.
So that's my approach to photography.
Yeah,
I love listening to music as I take photos. I find it's a lot more fun, and I listen to a variety of different music as well.
Have you ever gone out on a shoot and just not taken any good photos?
Oh.
Nothing.
Every photo shoot that I I'm joking.
Like you know what I mean though? Like it's something that you just walk, you come home with and you're just like, I'm actually just not happy with that entire photo shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even like, what was I saying? Yeah, no, well, with these photo shoots, like obviously like majority of the time it's like you guys that are taking the photos. So I guess I don't get that as much. It's more like if I'm making a video and like I come back and I feel like, well, majority of the time when I make my videos, I feel like I don't have nearly enough footage, like just to make a video. I'm like, what am I going to, like, how is this? But I always do have enough.
Yeah.
It's just that feeling of like, oh, is this enough kind of thing? But I feel like that's just part of the process. I don't think that there have been videos and stuff that I've made that are like, that I'm like, oh, this content, there's just nothing good in here.
Yeah.
But I still make something out of it.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not going to not make a video because there's not enough. Because the thing is, this used to be my saying, every day is a new story. Like every story is different. You can't expect every story that you make to be good, every photo for you that you take to be good. There's, I've been reading this book about like creativity and stuff, and they were talking about like Shakespeare and like how he like wrote his different, it's not poems, plays and stuff.
Yeah.
And he pretty much, like, you know, like Rotten Tomatoes and like all IMDb and stuff. Essentially there's like an IMDb and like a Rotten Tomatoes for plays and stuff back in the day. Yeah. So like they had like an ratings.
Online forum in the
1600s. Yeah, an online forum. No, but like it's interesting because he had like Hamlet, for example. I think that was that Shakespeare? I'm a dumb.
Yeah, Hamlet's Shakespeare.
Okay, yeah.
Really? Why does everyone love Shakespeare so much? Like,
I don't know, it's just the way that he like wrote it or whatever.
The thing is, like I remember learning about him. He actually made up so many words in the English language. Like,
yeah, he did.
Like, Like the amount of words that we, yeah, that he made up. Like the amount of words that like we use nowadays, like that come from Shakespeare himself, is like apparently is like a pretty large percentage. I don't know how much, but it's pretty fascinating.
How big would your ego be if you walked around, you're like strutting around, you're like, yeah, I made a fucking, I made that language.
Yeah, yeah. I made that language.
I contribute to make English.
You know how many fucking percentages of that language I contributed to?
I own English.
I own a fucking equity of that fucking language.
Yeah, the language pays him.
Yeah.
An equity.
Every time someone says one of his words, they're like, nah, it's a paycheck.
It's like, sorry, it's a paycheck. Yeah. Oh, he sues him without getting yeah, you don't give credit.
Paying him any exposure, that's what it is.
Thou shall not sit, and he gets sued because he didn't credit Shakespeare.
Yeah. What was I saying?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, that was interrupted.
No, it's all right. They were saying that like Hamlet was like 98% up there with like all of the plays and stuff. But then the next play afterwards, he got like 3%. Three. So that's not, it's like it's one, two, three. Yeah, it's better than two.
Better than
like,
1%.
Fuck. Yeah, and then better like there was like a 9%. And then like they had like Romeo and Juliet and stuff. That was like.
But a 99 off for
no,
sure.
It was like an 80 or something. But then like what? Then like one of them got like 99. Then like one of them got like, yeah, like four and whatever. Like it's just all over the shop. But like what I'm trying to say is the most creative people, the ones that make an actual difference, are the people who are willing to make stuff that could potentially suck balls. Because if you do that, then you're allowing yourself to be fully creative. You're not ever going to be fully creative unless if you actually allow yourself to fully suck. Like if you make something that like, that you only want to be good, like that stifles your creativity. Because vulnerability is actually the foundation of not only courage, but also creativity. Because how are you going to set yourself apart from other people if you're trying to make something that's generally accepted by other people that will be successful, maybe, possibly, in other people's eyes? Mm. The only way that you can actually be different
is by failing.
Is by failing and being different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys do well at school? Or did you fail at school?
No, I didn't.
I did okay.
What was your ATAR, Lamon?
What was it? It was like 81, I think.
Fuck, so good.
Okay, yeah. For the listeners who are watching, an ATAR is essentially your end of school score. So it's like in America, it's the what's it called, the general score or whatever it is, like so the grade point average. It's sort of like that.
GPA.
So yeah, GPA.
Shit ever.
I didn't even get one.
So
you didn't get one.
No, I dropped out of school.
Good. Yeah. No, actually, nah. Not good. Don't drop out. Each to their own. But
dude, honestly, like the school system's so outdated, bro.
Oh, it's stupid.
Like, if you're gonna drop out,
I hate it.
Like, honestly, just go do like, because I had a job already, like at working at the car dealership. So I knew like I wanted to do something with a camera. I didn't want to go to uni. I knew about the whole debt thing, how you could put yourself in debt if you didn't know what you wanted to do and shit. And I just thought it was like, I now understand that uni for like, and I don't mean this to like, to Lamont, like I don't mean this to you at all, because like it's different if you're studying something that you actually need to have credentials for, like law or being a doctor. Like what, you know, you take your fucking son to the doctor and he's like, the doctor's like, yeah, I've done a few broken arm surgeries, just worked on other people. You don't have a certificate or nothing. Like, could you imagine? Like, obviously you need a certificate to show that you're a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer.
You have the education that you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think like in the creative industry, and every industry is actually creative in its own sense, but I mean like more for like photography and art forms and like actually expressive sort of art. I don't really think there's any point of going to school to that, because no one can teach you how to, you know, do that, or how to be independent like that. You can't teach, you know, you can't, what's the word I'm looking for? Like,
you can't teach people to have like what, self-discipline to do.
Yeah. Or kind of like, you can't teach like that kind of inspiration to figure out like what you like. Like that's it has to come from within, you know what I mean? And by failing. And so like when I left school, I was like, you know what? I already got a job and I want to do something camera related. And school to me was like, uni just seems like the final thing they can sell you before you go into the real world. That's what it felt like. You know what I mean? Because you go primary school, you go high school, you have to go high school in Australia up until like year 10 to year 16. And then you can go to university if you want to. And that was like, it just seemed like a big business to me, because like they were just trying to sell you something. Like how do these kids come out of high school, 17, 18 years old, and get thrown into university not knowing what they want to do. And then they come out of university, 40, 50 grand in debt and still not like what they're doing and be like, I don't know what the fuck I just learned.
Yeah, I think it does. Well, it comes down to a few things in terms of the thing where like you don't like what you do. Mm. I think you got to look at like, okay, why do I not like what I do? Like it is actually a mental thing. Like if you have a good attitude towards anything, then like you can, it's not about liking what you do. As I said in like the last podcast, it's not about passion because that's a selfish thing. If you think that what you're doing is meaningful, that's all that matters. But it just depends on whether you're going to have a good attitude about it. You can do the most mediocre job and have a good attitude about it and think that what you're doing is meaningful, and then that job can be your thing. Like,
well, yeah. It can be fulfilling in that sense.
Yeah, fulfilling.
Okay, let's just like break down the whole good attitude thing, because how do you even like get a good attitude? Because it's really easy to say, but I was learning about like dopamine levels and shit. Like if you're eating shit, if you're not sleeping the right amount of hours, if you're addicted to like shit like porn, like porn really fucks with you badly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we're all mature here. Like I'm going to say it because it does. It really fucks with your dopamine levels and something else that it releases too in your brain.
Serotonin, is it maybe?
I can't remember the word.
Serotonin's the happy one. I think that's
okay.
I think it's serotonin. I feel like it started with an O, but I can't remember. Some other endorphin there. But basically it's not good for you because it's like, you know, those videos that Liam was showing us the other day of like the rat race video or like that little ducky that goes and grabs the yellow dot.
The pleasure thing,
you know, like if you keep grabbing it and it's doing worse to you, obviously that's going to affect how you feel, and then you bottle it up because you don't talk about it or whatever. So it's like,
and you get used to the high, so that becomes your normality, and then like you feel like you're grabbing for it. It's the same with people that like go on drugs for that. Like I'm not saying drugs are bad, I'm not saying anything about it, but I'm just saying that like a lot of people do use drugs to escape from reality rather than facing reality. And I think drugs are bad.
They're fucked up. They fuck people up.
Well, it just depends, because some people use it for positive. Like I don't do drugs, and I don't think I'm ever really going to do it ever again. I used to sort of like dabble in it. I did like weed and all kind of stuff anyway.
I talk about it. No, I don't care. It's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. But I think that like, cause some people can use it to unlock like different parts of their brain and creatively. I think that's kind of cool. But it's when people are using it to escape reality because they can't accept reality. That's where it's a problem.
Which is like most average cases that you find.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But going back to the whole attitude thing, I mean, like if, you know, how do you implement a good attitude into something that, you know, you find mediocre?
I think good attitude comes with discipline as well. So like, discipline ties in a lot with attitude. So like, because the thing is like, we all have those times when we want to nag about things and complain, but we just got to realize that you're being very reactive to the situation. Like let's say, you know, I'm at school and like I'm at uni and like I'm learning some math problem that's just like, it just looks cooked and
it's just shite.
It's just like I'm barely understanding. I'm like, fuck this, fuck that. Why am I here at uni? Why am I learning engineering? I hate this.
Yeah.
But you got to be like, hold on a second. You're learning at the moment. Learning is not necessarily meant to be the most enjoyable thing in the world, because not every single thing in this world is enjoyable.
No.
So thing is, I'm still learning so that I can get the degree, so I can live a more fulfilling life in the future if I want to.
Yeah.
So
you get that RX-7, boy.
Yeah, I get that RX-7. Yeah, get that NSX.
That's where happiness lies. If anyone was wondering, that's how you become happy.
No, it's not true. No, it's with your friends and family. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah, but just like when you find yourself complaining, you just got to realize, hang on a second. First of all, you got to realize the fact that you're fucking complaining. You're like, okay, this is not helping the situation. It's just going to make you feel even more shit.
Yeah.
Right. And be like, what can I do to turn this around? So what I've started doing is, okay, well, instead of just continue to nag and complain, let's be proactive and let's focus on something that actually matters to me at this point in time that will actually be important towards my future. And so that way you can fix your attitude so that you can look at things like, okay, yes, this math problem may be difficult and I may not understand it, but that just means I have to practice more so that I can understand it better.
Yeah.
And that's how you have a better attitude.
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing,
about something that you might dislike. So that's what I've sort of learned throughout this year.
Yeah, like I think learning like being proactive over reactive. Just that little thing, that one sentence has changed my mindset on so many things.
Yeah.
It's like when I want to complain about something, which I always do, you know, well, even
I love a good complaining session.
Oh, mate, fuck. Like- bro, if I want to complain, mate, I'll fucking complain till the cows come home. Yeah. Then I'll be like, you know what? This actually doesn't solve anything.
No.
Yeah. If I complain, the more I complain about this, yeah, exactly. Just like you said, you're going to feel more shit. Mm. And I see my dad do this all the time and it actually pisses me off. But then I have to settle myself down because me getting pissed off and my dad getting pissed off doesn't solve anything as well. Because my dad's an old wog. He's an old Italian wog, you know, classic Italian, loves his salami. Loves his coffee. Drinks like four fucking coffees a day.
He loves his, was it scotch?
Loves his scotch. I don't know how Italian that is though.
I don't know.
Whatever. Each their own. But anyway,
it's just old people things.
But my dad is like, just like most older wogs, if you are from a European background, you could probably say the same. But my dad is like one of those people that, I don't want to fucking talk shit about my dad, but I just noticed that he does this, that he just judges the world from the couch. You know how like some people do that where they just sit there, they watch the news or whatever, and then he just got something to say about everything, but sits there and complains, right? And doesn't actually want to do anything about it because the next news report will come on and he'll complain about that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And me watching that unfold just fucking pisses me off because I just want to grab him and be like, well, why don't you fucking do something about it then instead of sit there and complain about it?
Have you ever said that to him?
No, I'm too scared. He'll fucking beat the shit out of me. Fuck that. Yeah.
Why? Because of that one time that you drove when you didn't even have your license?
Oh my. Do you want to hear a fail story? I'll tell you a fucking fail story. Fuck me. So it all started when I was 15 or 16. I barely even had my license yet. I think I was on my... I had my L license.
I think I know where this is going.
I was able to drive with my parents, but in Australia, you have to wait until most states it's 17, but in Victoria, where we're from, it's 18 until you can drive by yourself.
Yeah.
I know that's probably pretty hard to swallow for Americans because you can start driving when you're like, what, 15, 16. 9 months? 16 years old by yourself. Yeah. That's fucking dangerous.
Yeah. And you also have to get 120 hours of supervised driving.
Yeah. To get your probation license once you're 18
as well.
Your
red, probation. First
when you can't carry it. Anyway, you can look into it if you really fucking give a fuck. But anyway, basically you can't drive by yourself or with your mates until you're 18. Anyway, I'm 16, my mate's 15 and he's come over. His name's Louis and I always called him Unlucky Louis because whenever he came over, just something unlucky happened. Like it was just, I don't know what it was about Louis. Like I love him, but we just had the worst luck. When we were with Louis, I don't know what it was. It's like a spirit inside of him, bad luck spirit. Anyway, so he was over at mine and previously from him coming over, I'd been taking out my mum's car, her BMW, every single night for like a month and just driving it around because I fucking love driving, right? Because everything cars, right? I just love driving cars and stuff. And I was getting this like itch, this bug to take out my mum's car. So I do tests and stuff because I've got a big garage door. Right, my parents sleep upstairs and the garage door makes so much noise when it opens up. So I do tests at night. I think I called you to help me do this or maybe I called my other mate Sam.
No, I was there when you were testing the garage door.
This is why I love having a friendship for 12 years with Lamont. I just remember so much cool shit we got up to. Anyway, so I'd stand upstairs on the phone with Lamont while my parents are sleeping. Right, fuck me, this is so funny. And I'd be like, yeah, Lamont, go open the garage. I'll see if I can hear it from up here.
I'll open the garage.
And so Lamont will open the garage. I'd be like, is it opening? And I can hear it on the phone, like going, opening and stuff. And I put the phone away in my pocket and I'm like trying to listen out for the garage and I can't hear anything. Can't hear the garage opening, right? So I was like, fuck yeah. That means I can probably take the car out. So we did tests, like turning the car on, see if it was loud enough to wake up. It wasn't, you know, take the car out, take it around the block and stuff. And it was so exhilarating to take it out, right? So I was doing it for like a month.
I remember like, because I was there for like, literally the first time you tried, you did it. I remember sitting in the car and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this is just not
so
okay.
Illegal.
This is like, I just knew in the back of my mind, you're going to get done for this one day. And I'm just like, I want no part in it. I will join you for this first ride and afterwards, just no thanks.
Even though I think you continued to join me.
I only joined you like once or twice, I think.
Oh, I think I remember, yeah.
Because I just straight up was like, nah, not really feeling it.
Yeah.
But I remember, anyway, so like, what
you
happened?
Just went out by yourself.
Yeah, so just to sum it up, basically, I take Louis out. He's super unlucky. We wanted to go to Macca's, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know back streets the whole way over to Macca's. So we drive over, right? I literally go on the main road, the only main road we had to take for 50 meters, right? And I get on there. I'm doing 40 in a 60 zone and I'm about to turn right onto another side street And I was looking left, right, and center. I don't know where these guys came from, but I was about to turn right onto the other side street to get through to Macca's, and I see these lights go on behind me, police lights go on behind me. And like, it was literally like, you know, there was like a tape stop, like, and I went in slow motion, and then like, I just had pictures and like thoughts about my dad beating me with his fucking sandals and shit. And I'm like, I'm dead. I'm dead. Like Louis, I looked over to Louis. I'm like, dude, I'm dead. And he's like, what? And I'm like, dude, I'm going to die. I'm literally going to fucking die. We're just getting pulled over by cops right now. And he goes, nah, dude, relax. Like, they're probably just going to like breath test you, and then you'll just be on your way. You'll be fine. Like, just play it cool. And I'm like, nah, I'm dead, bro. I'm fucking like, I might as well just like leave and go start digging my grave, because if the cops don't kill me right now for what we're doing, I'm going to get home and my parents are going to beat the shit out of me for what I just did. And he's like, dude, just fucking relax. Just pull over here and we'll just have a talk to them. It's fine. Anyway, so I've got no L plates up as well, by the way. So we pull over to the left. I'm in a clearway zone. And then the cop comes over to me, knocks on the window, and I'm like, yeah, put the window down. And he's like, hey, mate, just random breath test. And we're young, bro. Like, he can see that we're fucking young. And he's like, I think he's like trying not to hold back a smile because he fucking knows, right? Obviously. And he breathalyzes me, and obviously I blow zero. It's fucking illegal for me to drink. And even if I did have anything to drink, I wouldn't have driven anyway. I blow zero into the breath tester, right? And then he looks over at me, he looks over at my mate, and he goes, yeah, mate, can I just see your license? And I was like, oh, yep. And then I go and grab my L plate license that I just got like a month ago for like being able to actually drive on the roads. And I hand it to him. And then he looks at my mate that looks even younger than me. And he goes, I'm guessing you're the adult supervising driver. Can I see your license too? And he goes, yep. And he pulls out his L plate license and gives it to the cops. And then the cop starts laughing. And it goes to his mate, his other cop mate. And he goes, they're both L plate drivers. And he goes, wait here, mate. And he just laughs, walking off. And he goes and sits in the cop car behind him. I'm shitting bricks. I'm shaking, holding the steering wheel at this point. And I was like, fuck me. I'm like, why would you laugh at me? Like, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm going to die. I'm in my mum's car. I'm sitting in a clearway zone right now. There's cops behind me and they just laughed at me. Like, am I like, is this what heaven is right now? Am I going to heaven? There's cops behind me. They write up a ticket for me. They come out and go, yeah, you want to hop out of the car, mate? Sit on the curb. They hand me one ticket of $750 for not driving with a supervising driver, a proper supervising driver. And they also hand me another $250 ticket for not driving with L plates up displayed, even though I was already driving illegally. And he's like, mate, if you had L plates up, we probably wouldn't have pulled you over. And I was like, fuck. So I got fined $1,000 at 16 years old, aww, right? I didn't even have access to a bank account yet. I didn't know how I was going to pay this. My car was sitting in a clearway zone. They told me I couldn't drive at home. And so now we're freaking out because in the morning, the day's going to start 7 a.m. It's a clearway zone. The car's going to be sitting there. It's going to get towed. And like, I probably could have got, I got off like probably pretty good. Like, they didn't want to tell anyone about this. They just gave me the fines. They were just like, yeah, pay these off and you know, you'll be on your way or whatever. Like, it could have been way worse. I could have got the car impounded. I could have actually lost my L plate license and stuff.
That's true.
But they just handed me the fine and that was it. And then everything else was swept under the rug. But long story short, my mum ended up finding out and my dad didn't talk to me for like 2 or 3 weeks. I didn't get bashed. And then I had to buy like a racing simulator so I wouldn't take the car out. And so that's the reason, if you've actually watched some of my videos, that's the reason why I have the racing simulator in my room.
It's in the background. Yeah.
Whenever I felt like driving, I'd just jump on the racing simulator. So it'd take away from my urge to take the car out.
What'd you learn from that journey of yours?
I learned not to go on main roads and put L plates up if I'm going to illegally drive the car.
Good moral to the story.
Yeah.
Universal moral.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a massive fail. I talked for ages. Yeah. Sorry, boys.
No. Story time.
The main thing with that, just like, especially in Melbourne, Australia, just don't do anything illegal.
With cars. You're going to get done.
Don't do it anywhere. Yeah, badly. Like,
you can probably get away with it in like Iran.
Yeah, but like, why? Like, if you're not, okay, like if you're putting other people at danger, then that's when it's bad. But like, if you're not, then
dude,
it's
we
like,
were doing 20 Ks under the speed limit. That's why he pulled us over.
Yeah.
That was going too slow.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? We were talking about failures.
But like more photography related, but that was a fail.
Yeah. Nah. Well, that's
still
good.
Character building at the end of the day.
Yeah. True that. Yeah. I was still taking photos at that point.
Yeah.
Taking a photo of my reaction, like when I got pulled over.
Should have vlogged the entire thing.
Oh my gosh.
I just got pulled over.
That's why I love vlogging, because like 5, 10 years from now, even if we have kids one day, it's like, Dad, what were you doing when you were 19? I'll show you. I was actually in the snow with Hayden and Lamont.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, we had iPhones. Now we have, they'll probably still be around.
Yeah. Definitely will be.
Holograms.
Nah, yeah.
Of chips in our skin. Anyway.
I think it's interesting because I can like literally think about like with the vlogs, like I know what's happened, but I don't say like, oh, back when we did this, I'll be like, oh, back in vlog like 58.
I say the number.
Yeah, because I remember the numbers. Weird.
It's super weird. Were you good at remembering like people's credit cards or anything like that? Like
was cards. I good at that? Now that you're saying people it.
People's numbers.
It's like, is this your credit card number, Mike? You just repeat my number. Yeah,
imagine having a photographic memory. How mint would that be?
Fuck, I remember seeing this documentary on this guy that he went over a heli flight of New York once and he just repainted the whole thing.
You want to have the microphone a little bit close to your mouth?
Oh, yeah, sorry, mate.
Yeah, keep going. Remember to have it towards the side so you don't get the weird popping sounds.
Oh, okay. So I have not like this.
Towards your side. And then
I have no idea what I'm doing
with
this.
We fucking suck.
Is that right? Like that?
No. Like, it's like front on and then just a little bit to the side. Nice and close.
Okay.
That? Side a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy with his photographic memory, yeah, he would paint the whole thing from what he saw like one time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about, I was going to say something. Oh yeah. About like doing something that like you don't really want to do, but then like having a good attitude about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was just holding on to that thought because like I read something about this recently. Fucking, I read a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you do, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl.
No. It's said that like if you're like going through some like pain or like if you're complaining about something or whatever, like it's something that's difficult, then if you can find like meaning in what you're doing, then the pain like is like justified.
Yeah.
So like if you're doing a course in uni that you don't want to be doing, but like maybe in the future that's something that you actually need, then you can justify.
Is that your cousin's tattoo on his leg? So something like that.
It was a quote by Wiz Khalifa. I can't remember what it was.
The pain is it worth doing unless it's
the meaning behind it was like there's no point pretty much to anything without pain.
Pain and enduring. Yeah. Well, because it shows that your suffering shows like, you know, the goodness that will come from it. You know, the reward will come from it because you know how much better the reward will be after completing something.
Well, I know what you're saying. I think that's right. But
even still, like, I don't even know about that because it's not the destination.
It's not about the reward. It's the grind. It's about like who you become along the way and like what you constantly learn. Because otherwise, if you're thinking of rewards, then that's what a perfectionist does.
That's true.
An outcome mindset. I always say I think that's interesting. Like every time, like I don't have anything to say at the end of a sentence, I'm like, yeah, it's interesting.
I think I said this at a different podcast as well, but I always like when I state something, even if it isn't that obvious, I go, yeah. So obviously, you know.
Yeah, it's and obvious. Then I go into obvious, my sentence. Obvious, yeah, I do that as well. What's like other things that you say that are like,
okay, all right, or all right, okay, and like heaps of so's.
Yeah,
like in my cuts of my videos, like I have to cut out so many so's.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
I have so.
Is inevitable. That is fucking so Thanos. Bad.
It is very
is Thanos.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, that's true.
They're called, what are they called? We did English language. They're called euphemisms.
Filler words.
Or pause fillers. Pause fillers.
My mum always told me to pause instead of say So if you had something to say, like tried to teach me when I was younger, instead of saying and sounding like a fucking idiot.
Just pause
for a little bit.
That's
and then
good.
Get back into it. But sometimes my mum does it for too long. And she goes, so like she tries not to do it as well. So she's like, Michael. I'm like, yeah.
No response.
Like, yeah. And then she'll fucking come up with something like 20 seconds later. Yeah. She does that so much. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Nah. There's I say like, I don't even know what I say. There's just so many words that you say like in your videos that like you could easily just like, imagine if you could just strip it all back.
Yeah, I feel like
that would be boring though.
A true fan would know what you say.
Yeah,
that would pick up on that.
Yeah, I think that would be boring though if everyone like spoke the same. Obviously.
Dude, I'm thinking about this mail time thing that I just started doing, right? I've only ever done one episode, and so far I got sent two things.
Yeah.
But I just had an occurrence the other day. Like, obviously I'm not going to throw out any of this mail.
No.
And obviously there's a fuckload more coming.
You'll need to have just like a different
storage.
Yeah, storage. That's what Casey Neistat did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did like mail times like all the time. He had a separate room.
It's he doesn't just, like, do them full, anymore?
Well, he doesn't really create that much anymore. But really? No, he doesn't. He doesn't do the mail time anymore, no. But like when he was doing daily uploads, there was like always times when he was doing it. He would get so many, like
Casey's such a cool inspiration, I think, for heaps of us. Like, I fucking love watching. I used to watch his videos every day at lunchtime. Mm. I remember, yeah. I remember like it's hard now because I'm not so much more of a consumer of YouTube because I'm more of a creator.
Yeah, just creating, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm creating more than I'm consuming. Mm. So I don't really feel the need to watch as much YouTube, but I still do watch stuff like, you know, Wheelhouse and Donut Media and stuff. They make videos on car stuff. And I watch them, but not like avidly, like notifications on and everything, just when I have time to watch it or when I want to relax. But I remember like I used to watch Casey Neistat and Joe Santagato, this other comedian that I found really funny. And I like Casey Neistat because his videos were like 9 to 12 minutes long sometimes.
Mm.
Or like Joe's videos were also about 9 to 12 minutes long, which is exactly how long it takes me to eat a meal.
Yeah.
Which I found.
That's true.
So it was like about 12 minutes, right? Or 9 to 12 minutes.
Mm.
So I was like, every single time, like for lunch. And I really like got a really personal connection to these YouTubers, even though they knew nothing about me or who I was. I was that's a little speck.
Yeah. That's what's crazy about YouTube. Like I feel like a lot of people would probably feel like they know us and like,
yeah,
but we don't know those people. Cause it's like, how can you? Like
I bumped into a guy when we were in the Grampians on the weekend. His name was
Joe.
I
remember, yeah.
Yeah. And he's
Joe.
Joe or Jay?
Joe.
Joe came up to me and he, sounds funny. Yeah, you laugh at what I said. No. You laugh at your friend's mistakes.
No, it's
yeah?
good. No, it's just funny. No, I'm just fucking. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
I'm just bashing your balls, mate.
Yeah, it's all right.
Anyway, Joe comes up to me. It's like, nah, it's Jay. Anyway, sorry.
He comments. Joe, he's like, it's fucking Jay.
It's fucking Jay. You yeah. Should have known. Anyway, so Joe comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, like, watch your videos. Like, love all your stuff, but it feels super weird to stand here and talk in front of you because I feel like I already know you, but. Now it's like more 3D mic.
4D,
yeah, 4D mic. I'm just like, this is super funny, man.
Yeah.
It's like not the first time someone said that as well, but I don't think about it that way, obviously. Like I'm just like some curly-headed fuck stands in my room, yells at a camera and annoys my parents. Like,
yeah, same. That's all I do. Except not curly.
So you kind of got curly hair.
Yeah, it depends on the weather. It actually does.
Yeah, mine's just always curly. Mine goes more curly if it's more humid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, my hair has a single wave through it. It's just a single curl. That's all.
Your hair's a wave pool, but with one wave. And
it's just
like,
one wave.
Ooh, yeah. That's it.
Especially when it's like really hot and humid. That's what happens with my hair.
Dude, Asians can do anything with their hair and it'll look good.
You could have chrome silver fucking hair. And
dude,
you'd
I can
look
dye
dope.
My hair pink and it'll look
decent. Like, yeah. Decent. It would look good. You just look like a K-pop star.
I literally know people with pink hair.
Oh, like sorry. Hair. We're thinking of going to South Korea for a photo battle.
Yeah.
And dude, if for the loser, they have to join a K-pop band while they're there.
How?
We'll figure it out. We'll fucking figure it out. But they have to go do K-pop dance lessons.
I would do that.
How fucking funny would that
be
for the loser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if we went to South Korea, the loser has to do K-pop dance lessons.
And would you have it so that like you have like that the person dancing has like a microphone and then like you can like speak into like.
And you have to tell them what dance moves to do.
Oh my God. Whoa. Yeah. And then you could just do the most, you could do like a pelvic thrust when they say to do like the helicopter.
Well, because, they won't be able to really communicate with you because I think South Korea is a lot like Japan in the sense they don't really speak as much English.
Yeah.
So
they don't really speak much English.
That
right
would
there.
Be fucking funny.
They're better than Japan.
Really?
They're better, but still not the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be
that
funny.
Would be hilarious.
What are other ideas that like we could come up with for the loser of the next photo battles?
I think we got fake tan.
Fake tan, tattoo. I think we should
Liam
get a tattoo.
Liam hates it, but we'll get him on board.
We'll get
tattoos.
Him on board.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. I don't. No, dude, I straight up don't like tattoos either.
Well, you're not going to lose. I'm going to lose. So I'm the one who's going to be coughing. Well, On other people, I don't mind. But I don't know.
The idea that me and Hayden had, which we're trying to get Liam on board with this, but he's just like so against it, which we don't know why. But anyway, the loser of one of the photo battles, we wanted to get the winner's name tattooed on their ass. In like it's tiny fucking font.
And dude, if it's on your ass, yeah, like no one's gonna see it. You're not gonna look in the mirror. Do you look in the mirror every single morning when you wake up? You look at your ass and you're like, damn.
I can't even look at my ass. How the fuck do you look at your ass?
What? You can't turn your neck?
You can't, but like if you put it in a spot where your fucking neck can't see it. Cause like surely you can't see your whole ass. Unless you bend over and look upwards.
I can see the whole of my moon, asshole, ass.
Dude, if I like put my legs through my head and like look at the mirror, then I can see everything.
That would be a sight. Oh my God. I'm not even going to say that. Yeah,
picture,
nah.
Boys, picture.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll take, oh, imagine if like for my merch on my website, I got all the merch and stuff and then there's a random photo of you and your asshole. Anyway, we're not going to go there.
Let's not go there.
Fake tan.
Possibly tattoo.
No.
Skydiving.
What about earrings?
The loser has to do skydiving.
Skydiving.
That would be fucking funny. Yeah. Well, fuck that. Yeah.
Piercing, maybe.
Yeah, earrings.
Because you can take them out. You can take them out.
Yeah.
But like for that month, you have to have them in.
Earrings would be funny. It has to be the gay one.
Well, there's anything wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Nah, Liam's not gay, and his one be losing. It'd be funny if Liam lost all.
Yeah, because he's got blonde hair.
He just drops them all. Liam's our test subject.
I would love that to happen. Actually, imagine if the next like few ones I just like won for whatever reason.
And me and Liam.
And then like the tables just flipped. Oh, that just so would funny. Not
yeah,
happen.
Your dreams.
It just would not. Like, it's every, yeah.
Everyone was a drone photo battle. The next five of them.
It just straight up wouldn't happen though. But that drone photo battle, that one that I won, like I literally looked at someone else's photo and I was like, okay, I want to get that. And I pretty much took the exact same photo. So that's probably the only reason why I won. Like, I just like.
But dude, I steal from everywhere.
Everyone steals from everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'll say it openly as well. Like I'll steal it. Like I want to go take that shot and then I go and take it. And in taking that photo, I'll learn something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll try something different. Something will happen. Like it's just like not trying to plan anything past like, okay, I'm going to take that shot. Where do I need to go? Where do I need to go park my car to go over there? Or how am I going to get to that location? That's it. That's as much planning as I do.
Yeah.
When I want to steal.
It's good though. Like I think that like, there's this thing with like creating like where you're trying to be different, which is great. Like being different's the best, but also like there's that thing where Liam was talking about the book that he's reading. It's like called Steal Like an Artist.
Yeah.
And like, it's good to like, at least the only thing that matters is as long as you're just doing, like you just do it. If you steal it, that's fine, whatever. But the thing is, as you said, like even going to take that photo, whether it be like knowing which lens to use and stuff, you get to know your camera more, your lenses more, and just the technique of photography as it is.
Yeah.
So it's just about doing it.
Dude, like I remember when Liam and I were in Yosemite and I wanted to get a shot of this tunnel that like runs through one of the mountains there. Like such a classic shot to take. And I took the photo and standing there like after seeing all the Instagram posts of it was like super unreal to me. And I was like, fuck yeah, like, this is awesome to take this shot. But before getting there, like we found other spots and stuff through Yosemite that I hadn't seen before. And I just took those photos and I really loved it. Like that whole experience of getting that shot. So it's more than just like, it could just be something like that. Like as simple as like trying to go to a nature spot and take a photo like this. Like you just learn.
That is interesting because a lot of the photo shoots that we go on, like we might have one specific photo that we might want to take, but then on the way to the location, like during the journey, like there's other photo opportunities that we wouldn't get unless if we had set that goal of getting that original photo in the first place.
Just like the paint powder shoot. Remember that?
Yeah.
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 Perfect example. Like we were all feeling like shit. Oh, yeah. Hayden amps us up. Massive dad moment. He's like, come on, kids. Get it together.
Yeah.
And then we pulled out the paint powder. Hayden ruined all of his clothes.
Yeah. Because I was like, fuck it. Like, get who cares? You're going to die.
It's always that. That's always that old chestnut. You're going to die.
I'm always like.
So good to go back to it, though.
I've got like this. It's so real.
Yeah. But that's amazing. Good.
It's liberating.
It's interesting.
It is actually, yeah.
There's, like I was reading an article. I read actually a lot. I didn't realize how much I read.
You're dad.
Yeah, no, I'm a father. It's like, I was actually reading an article. Article 58.9876. Anyway.
Yeah, from the Lucas 14.1. He's reading the Bible.
Far out. What was I saying? Yeah, no, there was this article that said like, it's like this idea that like the more that you like, this sounds so weird. The more that you like put yourself in the darkness or like the more you look into the darkness, the lighter or the brighter life becomes. So it's like, That whole idea of like a man who truly lived is like not, he's not scared to
not
die.
Not afraid to die. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and so like I haven't been doing it recently, but I did for like a week or something. I was like meditating on my own death every single morning. Like I would like sit down, I would meditate and I would picture myself like dying.
Dead.
Dying. Can, yeah. It's like, it's just like the fact that it's like so final, like assuming like obviously nobody knows what happens when you die, but like, I was just assuming the worst because when you assume the worst and you're okay with that, that's when you get the most power out of that. Mm. So I was just assuming, okay, like once you die, it's just, you don't even see blackness. It's just nothing. You just,
you don't even know you're dead.
Yeah. You're never going to smile again. You're never going to be with your friends and family again. You're never going to create again. You're never going to laugh. And it sounds super depressing, but that's the idea.
Well, that's going to happen to every single one of us.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is scary to think about as well. Cause like you don't want it to happen, but you can't control if it's going to happen. So you just let it go.
You got
to
be okay with it.
You can do as much as you can for if there's something that's a job that's required for you, you do it to the best of your fucking ability. But if it's, as soon as it's out of your control, there is not a single point worrying about it. Cause you can't control it.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Essentially like,
yeah,
but that is essentially what stoicism is all about. It's the art of not caring. It's like the art of just letting go of shit you can't control.
Yeah.
Because in that book, another book, The Five Thieves of Happiness, the first thief is control and the opposite of control is acceptance or surrender. So if you're controlling, if you're trying to control an outcome, just know that that's an actual illusion. All you're doing to yourself is putting pressure on yourself and making yourself unhappy, therefore making the outcome even worse because you're being unhappy. The outcome will only be better when you're actually having fun, because that's what you're doing in the present. Otherwise you're living in the future or the past. That's why meditation, I do a lot of meditation now. Like I'll try and do like 30 minutes a day, which like I never want to like put that on anyone else, because 30 minutes of your day to a lot of people is like far out. I don't want to spend 30 minutes sitting down doing nothing.
Yeah. You'll watch a 30 minute YouTube video.
Yeah.
Or like five.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
that's
10 minute videos.
Well, the thing is,
that's 50 minutes.
But yeah. But you'd get over.
The thing is, the idea is like we actually do have a lot of time, but we just waste a lot of it. I think like when people
technology,
yeah, exactly. Well, that I think when people think that meditating like 30 minutes is such a long time, in the big scheme of things, it's actually not. And the thing is, you don't even need to do 30 minutes. Like if now I'm sounding like, okay, you got to start meditating, but like I think that it's a good thing because if you're able, the more that you can bring yourself away from like the future or the past or like your thoughts and just be okay with them and then just come back to the moment, then the more like you'll get rid of your anxiety. It actually shrinks this part in your brain called the amygdala, which is it's responsible for the fight or flight. So it takes you out of that mode of like, oh, should I do this or should I do this kind of thing. It's rather you're just like being in the present, just chilling out, going with the flow. That is the opposite of control.
Dude, do you ever feel like those people that do extreme as fuck sports just have a massive fucking, what's it called? Chlamydia.
A massive clit.
Amygdala. What did you call it?
Amygdala. Yeah, they have a massive chlamydia. Jesus. In my brain,
no, dude,
I've got chlamydia.
My mate Dylan, he rides scooters professionally, like push scooters, right? Like full and tail whips and
Dill
shit.
Pickle.
Sick, bro. Yeah. Dylan, right? Like, dude, he doesn't give a fuck. Like, I'm sure he does give a fuck about some things, but when it comes to like riding down like a super ultra fucking mega ramp and like doing like 25 backflips off it, I'm like, dude, like, what are you thinking about when you do that? Like, you're literally launching yourself off a ramp. Like, how do you do that kind of stuff? And he goes, dude, I just know I'm going to land it. And I'm like, but what if you don't land it? He goes, no, I just commit, like I'm landing it. And I'm like, that's the only way that I can do it.
Mm.
And I was like, that's just so crazy to me because like I couldn't even jump down like five set of stairs on a skateboard without like freaking the fuck out that I'm going to break all my legs and just like watching my parents shake their heads at me in the hospital bed. Like, how do you get past that point? And I've got another mate, Jack, who rides dirt bikes and he'll ride them flat out in the outback at 190 kilometers an hour. And it's like, what goes through their minds? I think it'd be really interesting to study people who do extreme sports and how they have such little anxiety when they're doing what they love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really interesting.
True.
But well, I think like it's interesting that you say about like how he's like, oh dude, I'm going to land it.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
Commitment.
That confidence, obviously that would come from doing like yeah. the whole time, like he would have like built that up.
Yeah.
But like I asked him the same thing. I was like, do you ever like feel scared like doing that stuff? And he said like, yeah, all the time. But then like, as you say, he's like, oh, I'll just land it. But I think I just find it very interesting because for a person at his level, cause he's like professional.
Yeah.
For a person at his level to be like that, like when he does crash or whatever, then like that would, in my thoughts, it would like add to that fear more rather than being like, I'll land it. You don't like in reality, you just don't know that. Like you don't know,
no,
you just don't. But true. Like, yeah. But if you're like acceptance would be like, or like letting go of control would be like, I'm okay if I die. Like,
yeah, that's kind of what he was saying, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think more or less, like it's pretty morbid as well, but I just think he had that sort of, like, I don't want to say like disregard for his life or anything, but like I went to Barcelona with him and I watched him launch himself off a 2-story fucking drop
yeah.
into like a bank to try, and he didn't land it. And he full on fucked both of his elbows and his knee and shit. And he was like out for the rest of like the next couple of days.
You know what I find crazy?
Yeah.
When what? Athletes do stuff like that, like
crazy,
to us, like it would seem like it would be like traumatizing. But then like when they do it, they just get back up.
Yeah, we did. He got back up and he rode home. And I was like, that's fuck. You it's literally amazing. Just launch yourself of a 2-story fucking building, bro.
But the same, yeah, it's interesting because that is like very life or death situation. Whereas we have like every single thing that anyone does, there's always setbacks. There's always times where you're going to fail.
Yeah.
But it's about getting back up. Like yeah. with us making YouTube videos,
that's
if
right.
you, if you feel shit, if your shoot's not going to plan, if everything sucks and everything, you're just like, okay, like
this, try again tomorrow.
We suck right now. We're sucking.
Yeah.
We just got to get back up.
Yeah. That's the massive thing I've found with doing this, bro. And I think that's also come over time as well, because what happened to me, like progress from becoming a YouTuber, or like making videos over like the span of me taking photos and stuff. When I first started photography, I was untainted. I didn't know about any of this stuff. I didn't know anything about like the more that you do, the more that you learn, you just get up and do it, go out and do it. Like I didn't really follow that many photographers on Instagram. I didn't really know what I was actually getting myself into because I was just picking up a camera and I genuinely just enjoyed it and I was just in bliss. So I just figured out like, if I just keep doing this, you know, it makes me happy. So I'm just going to do it because it makes me happy, right?
Yeah.
Until the point where I actually started knowing that I was becoming, you know, actually better at using my camera to a point where I started getting paid work and stuff. I was working at the car dealership. I was actually getting paid to do this and using a camera. And I thought that was unreal to the point where I started YouTube. And obviously that was about probably 3 years of using a camera of just photography without much film experience, but we had a little bit of film experience, Lamont and I, because we were both sort of like doing this together. Yeah. But still, like, I didn't really know much about YouTube and filmmaking stuff, but I had learned in those 3 years about problem solving, not thinking about stuff, just doing it and stuff like that, and actually learning what it takes to get to the level that I was at that point in time. So when I decided to switch over to YouTube and also start filming and taking photos, the progression to where I am right now, which has been just under 2 years since I made my first video, has been a lot quicker, and I've seen a lot more progress in those 2 years because of what I've learned in the first 3 years, if that made sense.
I agree. Yeah. I was actually thinking, sorry, you go.
Oh, just before you go, like, so when I want to start something else, like let's say I want to get back into skateboarding, I will apply that same method of what I've learned over the past couple of years of just like not thinking about it, just doing it, which you only get over experience. So if I want to pick up something new, I know that it's going to take, I'm going to suck at it. I'm going to be shit. And even if I do get better at it, I'm still going to be shit. I'm still going to suck, but I would just be in a different point and I would just have learned more stuff, you know, about whatever I'm trying to achieve.
Yeah. I was actually literally before we did this podcast, I was thinking about this as well. Like,
yeah.
I think that the more it seems that the better you get at something and the more that it like can fuel your ego, like you telling yourself stories like, oh, like, you're a great, I'm a great filmmaker, I'm a great photographer. Cause when other people tell you that, like, obviously you got to like keep yourself grounded and everything.
Yeah.
That can like, but it's not even other people either. It's also like looking at your work and being like, okay, that's like the new expectation. That's the new standard. But the thing is, the better you get, the more that there's like a diminishing return.
Yeah.
So
that's what I was talking about. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So like you-
Like a rubber band effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the more you do it, like the more progressing that you're doing, like at the start, you're going to make heaps of progress, like heaps.
Yeah.
But then like the more you do it, it just tapers off because like you get used to it and whatever. Same with working out. But like same with anything actually. It's the law of practice. Yeah. But what was I saying? Yeah, no, like the better you get, like if you take a break from something, the problem is if you take a break or if you're not as consistent as you were previously, you like hit this like sort of thing where you go backwards. Mm. And like when you don't prepare for going backwards and like being like, okay, like I'm going to suck when you come back to it, then you can set yourself up for like real disappointment. That's like that's like perfectionism, because it's like if you need to take a break, take a break. If you need to take like a week off or whatever, just take a week off. But problem is, like, even this happens with me as well. Like if I've been like creating a lot and I'm feeling a bit burnt out and I actually do need a break, sometimes I don't want to take a break because I'm scared that I won't like produce at the like capacity that I was producing before. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you actually have to allow yourself to do that, because like as I said, the better you get, the more that there is like, if you have errors, the more conscious you are of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Well, I understand as well. Like if you're going to be doing something flat out and if you enjoy doing something, you're going to have like those burn periods that where you're really trying hard. You're burning the candle at both ends and you're working day in, day out, night as well, like whatever to make shit happen. But I get that if you do that for too long and you burn the candles at both ends, you're really shortening that span of how long you can do that for. Mm. So that's when you need to recharge as well. And that's why some people feel the need to take a break for a week. But the problem is that I feel like all of us are in the same boat, that we all love doing what we do, but we don't know sometimes until it actually happens when we should have been taking a break. And that's when I think it can hit backwards the hardest, is that you realize like, why am I feeling like shit? I want to do this. I know I want to do this, but I feel like I can't. I feel tired. I feel lethargic. That was me today actually, but I still did work, because like, even if I'm not working, I'm like, you know, quotation, I'm not working, but I am still working. Like today I feel I'm finishing a editing tutorial. I just filmed the end part of it and I just chucked it together, but tomorrow I'll probably finalize it. And this is like supposed to be like my day off, you know, because I'm tired, but I'm still kind of working and I'm still thinking about work. This is right now it's still working, but it doesn't feel, because it feels like a conversation, but you know, my because like my level of work of like what I think is working is like ticking off 10 things on in a day of like the shit that I need to do.
Yeah.
And so like when I'm doing that, like I'm working flat out for like 14 days, like working weekends and stuff, like whatever, like working or staying up till midnight. Like I'm about to go and, you know, make a whole new website for merch and presets, design 25 new presets, which I've done, design merch and stuff with Chris, talk to Daniel about the supply. Like I'm about to go through all of that. So I'm kind of preparing for it and I know that shit's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
That's why I've allowed time for it and shit. Yep. But you only learn all that kind of shit over time after doing it for a little bit.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that with the whole work side of it. I've just had a mind blank now. Oh, I was literally
Were you going to talk about the merch and stuff?
No, it was about like working. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Working so much that like with what we do and like YouTube and all that.
Yeah.
Like I want to get to, well, I've had this sort of thought of like getting to this point where I'm so comfortable doing what I'm doing that it doesn't like that. I'm just like, it's just easy.
Yeah.
But I think that that's like not a good idea to pursue anyway, because if it becomes easy, then it can potentially become boring. Like it can become like, like you don't want it to be easy. I think that you don't want to feel comfortable doing your thing.
That's a really interesting point.
Yeah. Go.
You know, when you feel nervous about something, you get those butterflies in your stomach.
Yeah.
That's when I want to do something. Like, yeah, that's when I'm like, fuck, I feel like that's actually the feeling I had when I bought Earl Davis, a car that we just fucked up and tried to photograph and shit. And I was like, buying that, I was like, I'm about to drop a lot of money on a car that I don't even know fucking will get me home or whatever. I don't know like the history on this car. I don't know anything. I'm about to just spend $1,200 for one YouTube video.
But you just did it.
And I just was like, I'm getting that feeling right now. this is like the whole reason I'm going to fucking die. The whole reason why I left my job and did all this shit was to do shit like this. And so whatever happens, it's good content anyway. If it breaks down before I even get to my house, yeah, that's great. I will fucking push this car to a photo location if I have to.
Yeah.
Like, it's good content. And that's what is interesting about our job is that, and even what we're talking about, like not giving a fuck and then giving a fuck and what's it called?
Stoicism,
right? Where you stop like sort of caring or
the art of not caring about like right, shit that doesn't
it can
matter.
Kind of be really unhealthy because you kind of do need to care and want to challenge yourself and push your limits to get that nervous butterfly feeling. At least this is my opinion. Like I want that nervous butterfly feeling push me.
Stoicism. Yeah, no, it's about letting go of shit that you can't control. Letting go of stuff that doesn't matter. Yeah,
okay, that
it's
makes
about
sense.
Caring about the things that matter to you as a person.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those butterfly, I think that idea, that feeling of nervousness, like, oh, should I do it or not? That is the amygdala again. That's like, but you can, it's the same. It's interesting because like scientifically, I saw this on a video. Do you know Simon Sinek? Any of you guys?
No.
Yeah. Anyway, he's great. He was like talking about like how he does like a lot of speeches and stuff. And it's interesting because that system, that same like feeling that you get for nervousness, the same things light up in your brain for excitement. So.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're feeling nervous, you can tell yourself, no, I'm actually just excited.
Yeah.
And so then you flip it into a positive and you're like, okay, let's do it. Yeah. Rather than being like, oh, I'm nervous, I shouldn't do it. It's like, it's a positive thing.
Yeah, for sure. Like I know that nervous feeling of that butterfly feeling was exactly the same when I like, did you guys ever do like house athletics?
Yeah.
In high school or primary school where you're about to sprint like a 100 meter race.
I know what you're saying.
And
yeah.
you were like, you know, you're ready. Like everyone's counting down and stuff. You're like with five other people, you're all competing. Like you guys can probably feel it right now. You know what I mean? Like that same feeling is coming up.
Not now, but like before I do something usually.
As in like, you know what the feeling that I'm talking about. You could imagine
it. Doesn't
you can,
go away.
You
yeah.
can picture your body imagining that. You know when like you think of like a lemon taste sometimes and you can feel the lemon taste. Like, you know that kind of thing. But you know, so I don't know why I thought about that, but whatever. Say everything, no filter, fuck them.
Yeah, no, it's good.
It's cool, mate, no filter.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we're still weird here. Yeah. Cool.
Weird is cool. Yeah, anyway, keep going.
But then, the gun goes off and you go and you're sprinting that race or whatever, and then you finally cross the finish line and it doesn't matter what place you came, but you just did it and then it's over. You know what I mean? And then you're happy that you've done it.
And it's that feeling afterwards. You're like, oh, that was actually like,
that was good. That was sick. It was excitement that what I was feeling, not actually nervousness.
It's a bit of both. It's like, I feel like, it depends on how you like interpret it. Like some people hate like being nervous. I would say that a lot of people hate being nervous. They try to avoid it, but
you don't know what it is because you don't really get taught in school what to do when your body's nervous.
Yeah. Well, people hate like uncertainty and anything that makes people nervous.
If you're not taught how to deal with it. Yeah, of course
you have to teach yourself. You have to like flip your brain upside down and make it think, like, okay, no, I'm not nervous, I'm excited. And then just be like, all right, just amp yourself up and just send it. That's it, sending it.
I feel like as humans, we want to know. We want a sticky beak. We want to look. We're very opinionative, you know, type of your primitive race that we just want to learn. We want to learn. We want to know. That's why we love drama, because we want to know. We always want to know opinions and stuff. So if you're not knowing, especially when your body's going through a change or you're not understanding what's actually happening, of course you're going to feel uncertain and nervous and stuff. And then that's going to make you feel even more anxious because that's spiraling that loop, right? That's triggering that effect to happen.
Yeah.
But if you start understanding a bit about your body and how you feel, then that's going to make that whole effect sort of go away. Or not go away, but you're still going to have that effect, but you're going to understand why you have it.
Well, it's this whole idea of, like the more certain that you want to be, the less certain you will feel and the more insecure you'll feel. Whereas the more you pursue and accept uncertainty, the more like secure you'll feel.
Wait, say it again.
So it's literally the backwards law. It's the same with the desire for a positive experience in itself and negative experience.
Okay, yeah.
So like the more you desire being certain about something, the more uncertain and insecure you will feel. Whereas paradoxically, the more uncertain, right, the more you accept being uncertain, the more secure you'll feel.
You're
the
like,
more certain you'll
it.
Be about yourself.
Whatever. Yeah. Anything goes. About. Anything will happen.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that we should wrap up.
Yeah. It's been a minute 10.
A minute, a singular minute, like and 10 minutes. A minute and 10 minutes.
I always fuck up hours, minutes.
Left, good. Right.
Good. This whole episode is about fucking up and failure. It's anyway, good, yeah. I just before we finish this, I just want to say that like failure is the only way to succeed. I know you've heard this that many times, but like celebrate your failures. Don't celebrate your successes. Just be like, oh, all right, good enough. Yep. But then like failures, actually pat yourself on the back because it means you're actually doing something.
Fuck yeah. Yeah,
you have to eat shit to learn.
Exactly.
You gotta eat shit for a living.
Fucking go eat shit. I'm going to eat some shit.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to have in your shit? Capers?
Yeah, spit of salmon.
Salmon and capers. In
salmon
your,
and shit.
What kind of shit? Dog? Poo?
Oh, bat. Oh,
I prefer
bat
human.
Poo. Holy shit. Well, holy shit. Holy bat shit.
What holy shit. Jesus
angel,
shit.
Angel poo?
What is angel poo. Have you, what is bat's anus poo
smell like? It looks like the entrance to a cave. That's what the anus
it's
looks like.
Anus? The bat's anus looks like a cave.
Okay,
the
entrance to a cave. Let's stop this. If you guys like this episode, remember to, like if you're watching this on YouTube, remember to give it a thumbs up. Comment down below what you think as well. We have
join
the subscription. Get subscribe as well.
Lock and fuck. Yep. Yeah, and we also have the Between the Frames the highlight reel.
We
thing.
Have the highlights channel as well. Right. Yep.
So we should make a meme out of it. Yeah. Don't forget the highlights reel.
Don't forget it.
No, we got 20 subscribers.
No, make it so like don't watch any of the highlight videos because we want to keep one of the videos at no views. So just subscribe, but don't watch the highlights.
I think there's one video up there that has no views. So don't you dare watch that one video.
We don't want any views on that one. No views.
It's
fuck
got
numbers.
A million subs and 10 views on every video.
Please. That would be funny. Just subscribe and don't watch it. It'd be funny.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny actually.
Anyway. Yeah.
Anyways. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Spotify, whole bunch of different platforms, Stitcher, Alexa. And if you enjoy this, obviously, leave a 5-star rating to help boost the ratings of this podcast so other people can listen to it.
Yep.
What else is there? And
we'll see you soon.
That's about it. Yeah. We'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Have a shit one. Yep.
Bye.
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 Press the button.
Bye. Boy.